Welcome back to Blog Byte. You know how this works. We take the best engineering blogs and we kind of break them down into these fun little audio deep dives.
Bite-sized snacks for your brain.
That's a good one. Yeah. So today we are diving into a piece called Tidal Launch Observability at Netflix Gale Part 2, Navigating Ambiguity.
Catchy.
Right. This comes from Varun Kaitan. He's got a whole team with him. Malika Rao, Esmir Mezik, and Hugo Marquis. It's a big team effort.
It sounds like it, yeah.
So think about it like this. Imagine you're Netflix, you know, the big streaming giant. You've got this amazing new movie or show. You're ready to launch it. It should be easy to get it in front of viewers, right?
You'd think so. I mean, that's kind of their business, right?
Yeah, exactly. But buckle up. It's a lot more complicated than you might think.
That's often the case, though, when it comes to these, like, really large-scale systems.
It's true. And this blog does such a good job explaining why that complexity exists even before we start thinking about, like, solutions.
It's like setting the stage, right, laying the groundwork so we can appreciate what the engineers are up against.
Exactly. So let's break down who's even involved. The blog talks about these tidal launch operators.
Okay, so what do they do?
They're the folks who basically handle all the logistics of getting the tidal, like, you know, ready to go. They set dates, languages, make sure the artwork is there, the whole nine yards.
Gotcha. So they're like the stage managers of a movie premiere, but for a streaming platform.
I like that analogy, yeah. But here's the thing that I thought was interesting. They don't necessarily see how the choices they make, you know, all those details, impact those recommendation algorithms.
Right. Because, like, for me as a viewer, you know, I don't think about any of that. I just see what pops up on my screen.
Exactly. And that really highlights how even in, like, super technical companies like Netflix, teams can become kind of siloed.
Right. Working in their own bubbles, not always realizing how their work intersects with others.
And on the flip side, you've got the personalization system engineers. They're the masterminds behind what each user gets recommended.
Okay, so they're the ones deciding whether I get a rom-com or a true crime documentary.
Exactly. But they're often stuck in this reactive mode, like putting out fires when a title isn't showing up where it should.
Oh, so they're getting all the complaints from viewers. Like, why isn't this movie in my continue watching list?
You got it. So on one hand, you've got the tidal launch operators handling all the setup. And then on the other, you've got the personalization system engineers dealing with the fallout if something goes wrong.
So two groups, essentially working on opposite ends of the same problem, but not always with that clear view of the big picture.
Exactly. And wait, there's more. Product managers are in the mix, too.
Oh, right. Of course. They're the ones making sure the whole experience is smooth for the users.
Totally. They're laser focused on that member experience. They want viewers to, like, seamlessly move through Netflix's massive library. And if even a small percentage of users are missing out on, like, great content because of some technical hiccup, that's a problem for them.
Yeah, it's like a leaky faucet. You might not notice it at first, but eventually those drips add up to a big mess.
I love that analogy. And then we also have the creative representatives. They're kind of the bridge between the content creators and the platform itself.
Right. So they're the ones working with the filmmakers and showrunners, making sure their work gets seen.
Exactly. And they need to maintain that trust. Because if a title underperforms due to, like, a technical glitch, that erodes the trust they've built.
Makes sense. No filmmaker wants to think their masterpiece got buried because of a bug in the system.
So what's fascinating here is that Netflix, you know, a company known for being so data-driven, they didn't actually have a dedicated system to monitor, like, tidal launch health.
Really? I'm surprised to hear that. With all their data, you'd think they'd have that covered.
Right. It's almost like a blind spot.
So what were they doing instead?
Different teams were basically using their own solutions.
So no consistency, no centralized view.
Exactly. Almost like everyone was working in the dark a little bit. And to me, this is a perfect example of how, like, on the surface, launching a title seems so simple. But then when you peel back the layers, you realize there's this whole ecosystem of challenges.
It's a great illustration of how even seemingly small things can have these huge cascading effects when you're working at scale. And I think that's what makes this blog so interesting.
Totally agree.
It's like, okay, we've got all these moving parts. How do we make sure every title gets a fair shot within this massive personalization system?
Right. But then how do you even measure something like fairness when you're talking about algorithms and recommendations? It's so subjective.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So how did Netflix tackle that?
Well, that's where they came up with this idea of tidal health.
Tidal health. Okay. Tell me more.
It's like a vital signs check for new releases, you know?
So are they making sure the title is, like, breathing and has a pulse?
Kind of. They ask these three key questions. Number one, is the title visible to any member? Number two, is it visible to the right size of audience? And number three, is it reaching all the appropriate audiences?
Okay, so it's not just about whether a title is live or not. It's about making sure it's actually discoverable by the people who are most likely to, you know, want to watch it.
Exactly. It's about giving it a fair shot in the vast Netflix universe.
So defining title health is a great first step. But how did they figure out what could actually go wrong with a launch?
Well, they actually broke down the potential problems into these three main categories. So first up, you've got title setup issues. Those are problems with the metadata or the assets themselves.
Okay, so like typos in the descriptions, or maybe the thumbnail image is blurry.
Exactly. Or maybe the subtitles are missing, or there's something off with the audio. It's all about making sure that the information surrounding the title is, you know, accurate and engaging from the start.
Right, because first impressions matter, even for a movie on Netflix.
100%. But even if everything is set up perfectly, there could still be issues with the systems themselves, right?
Uh-oh, like what?
So that's the second category, personalization systems issues. These are problems within those really complex systems that decide what to recommend to each user.
So the title itself might be fine, but there's a glitch in the recommendation engine.
Right. It might not show up in, like, the because you watched Row, even though it should.
So it's like the plumbing behind the scenes is messed up, even though the faucet looks fine on the outside.
Exactly. And then there's the scariest category.
Oh, what's it?
Algorithm issues.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, a little spooky, right? These are the cases where the very brains behind the recommendations aren't working quite right.
Okay, so this is where things get really complex. Like, the algorithm itself is biased or flawed.
Precisely. And these are the rarest issues, but they are definitely the most challenging to fix.
Makes sense. You can't just slap a Band-Aid on a flawed algorithm.
No, it might involve tackling things like model bias, data anomalies, or even, like, a fundamental flaw in the algorithm's logic.
It's like having a compass that's pointing you in the wrong direction.
It is. It makes you question everything.
And figuring out why it's pointing the wrong way can be a real head-scratcher.
Absolutely. So we've got these three categories of issues: title setup, personalization systems, and algorithms. I'm guessing Netflix also looked at, like, how often these things actually pop up.
They did, yeah. And the good news is those setup issues, while they're the most common, they're also usually the easiest to fix.
So it's kind of like catching a typo before you hit send on an email.
Yeah.
A quick fix, but you got to catch it early.
Exactly. System issues, though, those require a bit more digging.
Like troubleshooting a faulty wire in your house.
Yeah, you got to get in there and figure out where the connection's broken. And then you've got those algorithm issues. Those are the ones that can really keep you up at night.
Because it's not just a quick fix. It's like having to rewire your entire house.
Exactly. It's a major overhaul. So knowing all of this, like, how did Netflix even approach this whole problem of title launch observability?
Yeah, it's a big one. Well, they actually considered two main approaches. So there's proactive issue detection, which is all about catching problems before they even impact users.
Okay, so get ahead of the game.
Exactly. And then there's reactive issue detection, which is basically identifying and addressing issues after they've already popped up.
So it's like the classic ounce of prevention versus a pound of cure.
It is. And I can definitely see the appeal of being proactive. It saves a lot of headaches in the long run. But it also seems incredibly challenging, right? Like, how can you possibly predict every potential issue before launch?
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge undertaking. But that's the path Netflix chose.
Really? Wow, that's ambitious.
It is. They decided to prioritize building a system that could catch as many issues as possible before they, you know, impacted the member experience.
Which, if you think about it, is pretty incredible when you consider the scale they're operating at. So what does this proactive system actually look like? How do they go about catching these issues before they wreak havoc?
Well, this is where the blog post gets really interesting. They delve into their solution, which involves creating a dedicated observability endpoint.
Okay, now we're getting into the technical stuff.
Yeah.
So for those of us who aren't engineers, break down what an observability endpoint actually means.
Sure. So in simple terms, you can think of it as mission control for everything related to title launch.
I like that. So it's like the central nervous system for all things title launch.
Exactly. It's a centralized system where all those different personalization systems can connect and, you know, basically report on how they're handling new titles.
So instead of each team having their own separate tools and metrics. They're all feeding information into this one hub.
Exactly. Everyone's speaking the same language.
It's like having a universal translator for all those complex systems.
Yeah, a great way to put it.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Having that standardized way to monitor everything must be so helpful when you're dealing with such a, you know, tangled web of systems.
Oh, absolutely. Especially at Netflix's scale.
But I imagine building something like that is no easy feat. What were some of the challenges they faced?
Oh, there are plenty. I mean, first off, they had to ensure the endpoint could handle the sheer volume of data flowing through it.
Yeah, imagine if the whole system crashed every time a new season of Stranger Things dropped. Hmm. Talk about a PR nightmare.
Oh, for sure. And beyond just keeping the lights on, they also had to ensure the data was accurate, secure, and, you know, being used responsibly.
So it's not just about building the system. It's about building it the right way.
Precisely. Data management and security are paramount, especially when you're dealing with such sensitive information.
It's like building a fortress around your data.
A really strong fortress, yeah.
So it sounds like creating this observability endpoint was this massive undertaking involving engineers, data scientists, you know, even maybe legal and privacy experts.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a team effort. And in the next part of this blog series, they actually go deeper into how they built and implemented this whole system.
Okay, now I'm really hooked. I want to know what technologies they used. What hurdles did they encounter? And what are some of the lessons they learned along the way?
Same here. I'm particularly interested in the trade-offs they had to make, like speed versus accuracy, and how they balanced the need for, you know, proactive monitoring with the reality that reactive troubleshooting is always going to be part of any complex system.
It's fascinating to see how a company like Netflix, known for being so innovative and cutting edge, still has to grapple with these, like, fundamental challenges. It shows that even the tech giants are constantly learning and evolving.
Right. And that's what's so cool about this deep dive into Netflix's process. They're not pretending to have all the answers.
It's more about like a journey of continuous improvement.
Totally. So before we get too carried away, should we do a little recap of the key takeaways from this blog post?
Yeah, let's do it. Where should we even start?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just realizing how surprisingly complex it is to launch a title on a platform as big as Netflix. We all kind of take it for granted, right? You just click and watch.
Right. But there's so much going on behind the scenes.
It's not just uploading a file and hitting publish. There's a whole network of people, systems, and algorithms all working together.
And that's where that idea of title health comes in. It's not just about whether a title is, you know, technically available. It's about making sure it's actually reaching the right audience.
And doing it at the right time.
Exactly. And I love those three questions Netflix uses to define title health.
Yeah, me too. They're so simple, but so effective.
You know, asking, is it visible to any member? Is it visible to the right size audience? And is it reaching all the appropriate audiences?
It really makes you think about the bigger picture.
It does. And of course, we have to remember those three categories of potential problems: title setup, personalization systems, and the always fun algorithm issues.
Right. It's like a hierarchy of challenges, each one requiring different tools and expertise to solve.
Absolutely. But I think what really impressed me was Netflix's commitment to proactive issue detection.
Yeah, that's huge.
It would be so easy to just wait for problems to pop up and then react.
Yeah.
But they're really investing in building systems that can actually anticipate and prevent those issues before they even impact the viewers.
Which is easier said than done.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And that proactive mindset is what led them to create that super cool observability endpoint we were talking about.
The mission control for title launches.
Exactly. Such a clever way to centralize all that data and make sure everyone's on the same page.
It really shows how a company like Netflix uses data and technology not just to solve problems, but to constantly improve and enhance the whole user experience.
Well said. So to our listeners, if you're as intrigued as we are by all of this, we highly encourage you to check out the full blog post titled Launch Observability at Netflix Scale Part 2, Navigating Ambiguity. It's by Varun Kaithan, and you can find a link in the show notes. Until next time, happy reading. Thank you.